Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. Remind you, on our way to this conversation, the Mark Steiner Show is sponsored by, in part, the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. We're going to jump into sports. There's a lot to talk about. Towson baseball has been saved, at least for the moment, by Governor Martin O'Malley. The Orioles, by the way, won 7-4. Just in, they won the game today against Toronto, Blue Jays. And we'll look at NCAA's basketball, men and women's. The great upset by Louisville and Baylor in the women's tournament. I was so happy about that. I jump up and down tonight on again to see if they can beat Tennessee. I want to see that happen. And we are joined here in studio by Ali Danois, senior editor for Bounce Magazine, and Sarita Hubbard is joining us by phone tonight, publisher and founder of the NFLChick.com. And Ali and Sarita, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
So where do we start? Do we start with just the game today? Is this just a flash in the pan? The Orioles going to jump up and jump back down again? What is? Well, I know, Sarita, you love baseball, right?
Of course,
I mean, baseball and football are your thing.
Yes, absolutely. So
are you about to become the Orioleschick.com now?
That's what I should have started. I started, you know, a baseball fan. That's my first love. I love baseball. So to answer your question, you know, I think that this is a continuation of what we saw last year. I think now Buck Showalter has really taken this team in the direction that he's wanted since he's gotten here, and he has a lot of key players. Something that I think that the Orioles have done that we haven't seen them doing in years is they're really starting to get their farm system up and going, and that's something that's lacked over the past few years. And now, you know, in the last year's draft, they went out and they got all of these pitchers, and now you see some of these guys, you know, they're starting to pay off in spring training. Obviously, we haven't seen them yet because we only played one game, but it paid off in spring training. These guys are coming out and they're pitching well, and they're the future of this team. I think that the Orioles are going to be very good. They're in a division where it is theirs to take. Toronto did make some upgrades, and Tampa is always going to be good, but the Yankees are going to have a down year, I think, in the Red Sox as well. So I think that the Orioles continue what they left off last year.
Ali.
Yeah, you know, this is a team that had been coming off of 14 straight losing seasons before last year. In 2011, they were 69-93, and then last year we saw the diametrical opposite of them going all the way to 93-69. And, you know, according to most people, they didn't see them finishing second in a division, getting the wild card and losing to the Yankees in a division series. The miraculous thing about last year, Mark and Sarita, was their ability in one-run games and in extra innings. And that's kind of a slippery slope when you see if you can continue that again going into this season. But we do know that there is chemistry in that clubhouse, that they've got a phenomenal manager. They had some great production by the bullpen last year. Some people were calling for a big acquisition this offseason, but I think the biggest – addition to the team is going to be a full season of Manny Machado, who as a 20-year-old third baseman, you know, he didn't debut until August of last year and did really, really well in his 191 at-bats. We lose Mark Reynolds and what he brought as a heavy bat, but he was also a heavy strikeout presence. I'm interested to see what they do in terms of run production because they were the second leading team last year in terms of home runs behind the Yankees. And people are saying, well, with the loss of Reynolds, who's now at the Cleveland Indians, that may dip. You know, but there are some other ways to increase your run capability and, you know, your on-base percentage. So I think the Orioles are going to continue, like Sarita said, with what they did last year. But it's definitely going to be a team of chemistry, and they're going to have to continue to win those very close and extra inning games.
What about injuries? We got a couple of guys playing now. They all came out today, but they're to be a little shaky. Mikakas could get hurt again. They say he's ready, but serious injuries he had before.
You're right, and I agree. I think that that's the biggest key to this team. You know, we could say woulda, coulda, shoulda if Markakis plays last year during the divisional, but obviously he wasn't, and what happened happened. But you have so many guys that put input to this team, not only Markakis, Brian Roberts, and Nick, I'm sorry, Reimold.
Reimold,
so,
yeah.
These are guys that cannot typically stay healthy, but if they are healthy, they bring a tremendous presence to your baseball team. So I'm curious to see how this plays out. I would really like to see Brian Roberts have a good year and be healthy for the most part. I'd like to see Reimold do it. I think Markakis will be okay. But, you know, I think that's going to be the biggest thing that they have to deal with as far as if this team can stay healthy. Because I think if they can stay healthy, they'll definitely compete for 2013.
Well, it would be nice to see this be a different year.
Yeah, you know, this is...
We see all those cartoons of the Raven talking to the Oriole.
That's right, and they do the fist bump. And what could be an even more magical season in this area, you know, we had RG3 and the Redskins last year. We had the Ravens win the Super Bowl. Right down the road, you know, if the Orioles can continue their magical run, we've got the team that's the odds-on favorite, you know, in the National League, mm-hmm. In the Nationals with Bryce Harper, who started out opening day yesterday, smashing two home runs.
Yep.
20 years old, starting in the third batting order. Steven Strasburg, you know, mm-hmm. if he avoids injury, is probably the best pitcher in baseball. So this is a team that, you know, everyone has some questions about the Orioles, but it seems like a lot of people are looking at what's going on down in Washington for them to have a really strong season. So conceivably, this might be the year of a Beltway series if things go according to plan.
I don't even know why Washington has a team. Anyway, what do y'all think? 410-319-8888 is the number here. Join us with your thoughts on baseball at NCAA. Towson now has baseball back. We'll talk a bit about that. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Give us your thoughts. We're dying to hear you on the airways with our two guests, Sarita Hubbard and Ali Danois. So what you got there in your hand, man? You got something in your hand. What's this?
Well, you know, this is time of year where NCAA March Madness kind of takes control of the nation's consciousness.
So you want me to you want to talk about the NBA?
Well, I mean, we can talk a little bit about LeBron and what Miami almost accomplished, and I think, you know, the greatest team accomplishment in the history of pro sports. They approached that Los Angeles Lakers record of the greatest win streak. And once March Madness settles down, we're going to take a look at a really interesting NBA playoff race. But, you know, I know we have some limited time today. So, you know, maybe next time we can talk about LeBron.
Florida Gulf Coast is a much better story right now. Florida Gulf Coast is a much better story.
Well, you know, like the guy in sneaking into movies in Robert Townsend's classic movie, I'll say, I disagree. But Florida Gulf Coast was a great story for about 2 weeks. But the season that LeBron James is having, you know, it's historical. It's Michael Jordan. It is Wilt Chamberlain. It's Bill Russell levels of dominance. But we'll save that for the next conversation.
I mean, you have to give it to him. People love to hate LeBron James, but just an amazing player. I mean, he's unbelievable to watch. He's just the Bulls stopped him the other night,
right? And Chicago historically always plays that team tough, even missing Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah,
right,
their two best players.
Right.
That's a great coach, Tom Thibodeau. And that's why, despite Miami's dominance this year, I think like teams like Indiana, I think teams like the Knicks, and I think teams like Chicago, they're going to have to earn this next championship, and they're going to have to earn that Eastern Conference.
Is Noah out?
He missed that game. I don't think it's anything significant. Derrick Rose is slated to be back.
That's where the Frenchman himself.
Yes.
We can come back to NBA, but let's one of the things I do want to touch on here before we go back to baseball is the NCAA women's tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I was excited the first night of the NCAA men's tournament to watch Harvard beat New Mexico. That was a really fun game to watch. I had to watch it to the bitter end. I was up late, had to get up early, but I had to see that game because my gut told me Harvard was going to win. I love it when teams like Harvard win against places like New Mexico. They played really – one of the things I looked at, you can see in that game was – you can see it in many games – is the game was about the coach taking players who are not these gigantic stars, mm-hmm. but knowing how to mold a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was really – I would love to watch those guys play. Even though they lost the next game, even then they tried. I mean, they have a great team game.
That's the beauty of the NCAA tournament, and I think that's why so many people can buy into this concept because, you know, David has a legitimate shot against Goliath, and we saw that. I think one of the most underreported stories in college basketball over the past few years is the juggernaut that Tommy Amaker has been able to put together at Harvard. I don't believe they made it to the NCAA tournament since the 1940s, 1946. I may be off on that. But, you know, this is a guy who was one of my favorite players, one of a defensive bulldog, one of the key recruits for Mike Krzyzewski, along with the other guy from D.C., Johnny Dawkins, to really catapult the Duke program into the national consciousness. They got things started back in 85 and 86 at Duke. They weren't always this great powerhouse team that we're seeing now. And Tommy had some head coaching experience at Seton Hall and at Michigan. He came into Harvard with a philosophy that he wanted to build this program up. And a lot of people said it couldn't be done at a place like Harvard because of their academic standards, because of their lack of scholarships. But he sells those guys on the fact that one half of 1% of people are going to make it to the NBA. But I've got a guy by the name of Jeremy Lin who came through my program who took the NBA and the world by storm. So you'll have an opportunity and you'll be seen, but you're going to walk away with a Harvard degree.
Absolutely.
And I think that that is something that's really compelling when you sit down in a living room and you think about what that means. I think he's able to sell that. He's a great coach. And you could tell about what they did against New Mexico, who was a dark horse favorite to make it to at least the Elite Eight.
Right.
Mountain West Conference was a very, very competitive conference this year. And Tommy Amaker just showed that he's not playing around. And I'm really excited for Harvard, being an Ivy League guy myself. I was rooting for them as well. But, Mark, my gut didn't tell me they were going to beat New Mexico.
I just had a feeling. Something told me you can't go to CPitch. You've got to turn the game on. So I did.
I think for me, the best story, you know, outside of the Harvard story is the Florida Gulf Coast story. And it's because, you know, this is a school that I don't think they had a team for 5 years at this point. They were supposed to be a community college and online school. And then, you know, they got a little bit bigger and they went to the Sweet 16. They beat Georgetown, you know, an extremely popular basketball following. And now this guy that people didn't know of, a guy that was at Johns Hopkins, you know, Maryland grad, and he has a lot of Baltimore roots on his coaching staff. Now this is a guy that went from Florida Gulf Coast, and he just took a job at USC today, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So I love to hear stories like that. This is a team that nobody knew the school existed, and now this guy has a dream job because his team went to the Sweet 16, a Maryland guy. So that's just a great story. It's always good when you hear stories about people that, you know, homegrown, that from the area or whatever like that. So I just love that story. And to watch them was so fun to watch. That's what makes March Madness so great. They had no fear. Threes all day, dunks all day.
Yeah.
That is what March Madness is supposed to be about, excitement. And they brought that to this tournament. So it was hard to see him go. I'm a Gator fan, so I'm not mad about it. But, you know, I mean, it was great, though. It was great to see them just do the David and Goliath thing, because I feel like that they mastered that along with Harvard.
Well, Sarita, I'm just going to say, you know, if you are a Gator fan, then I'm sure you're pretty upset with what Michigan put on them.
Oh, man.
But
I mean, they didn't show up. I don't know what happened, but
The great part of the Florida Gulf Coast story, Mark, was, and Sarita touched on it, you know, sometimes college basketball can be this somnambulant game where the coaches coach every possession. Games are, you know, in the 50s. It's a slowdown pace. And, you know, you have these guys who are control freaks on the sideline. This guy let his talented players play a style that was so engaging and so exciting that for folks who are casual fans of college basketball and just come around to March Madness, these guys captured the nation's imagination.
because of their style. And this was a style that really we haven't seen on a college court since those UNLV teams with Jerry Tarkanian and Larry Johnson and Stacey Augman. So to see that, and like you mentioned, his Hopkins roots and, you know, his different backstory, the model wife, the guy's a multimillionaire who, you know, helped a small business grow into this this great enterprise. That was a great story for the first 2 weeks.
I agree. It was fun. It was fun to watch them play. They're amazing. It's my favorite time of the sports year, I think.
Mine too.
I just go bananas. I love it. And also the women's side. Now, when we saw Baylor fall to Louisville, and Shoni Schimmel, who'll be playing tonight at 9 o'clock, Native American girl from off the res, who won that game. I mean, she won that game. I mean, it was watching her three pointers, watching what she was just. Unbelievable.
It was so amazing to me because I kind of caught the end of that game. I didn't watch it in its entirety, but I caught it close to the end, and I saw that, you know, there was a controversial late call in which the Baylor coach in her green blazer, she almost came out the blazer. I thought that she was getting ready to start fighting at any second. I mean, they had to constrain her. And ultimately, whatever the call was that she had an issue with, you know, depends on how you see it. It cost them the game, won them the game. I don't know how you see it. But I think that was just a great story because earlier in the day, obviously, Kevin Ware, prayers go out to him, he had broke his leg.
Yeah.
And they and they overcame that, and they won for him against Duke. And now you have Louisville women's basketball who, you know, Baylor is Big Bad Baylor. They have Brittany Griner on that team, you know. They're so well known for that, you know, and they were able to overcome. So it was just great to kind of see Louisville basketball on the same day with just everything that was going on with Ware, for them to come out victorious on both sides, women and men. That was just a great thing to watch. But I thought that the Baylor coach was really going to lose her mind. I thought they were going to put her out.
You know, Mark, you mentioned Shoni Schimmel.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when I'm having basketball conversations with people, I'll tell them that she is the most electrifying and exciting player in all of basketball.
She's amazing.
Not just the men's side, not just, you know, the women's side. You need to watch Shoni. And the thing she does, she is comparable to a female Pistol Pete Maravich. She play, if you were just to watch the way she plays the game, you'd swear she grew up on the playgrounds of Chicago, on the playgrounds of New York, on the playgrounds of Baltimore.
She grew up on the playgrounds of the res. And that's
she grew up on the playgrounds of the Native American reservation. And she has been doing things that, you know, historically are just phenomenal. Her and her little sister, they play with a swag and a flair.
Yes.
And it really speaks to, you know, we talked a little bit about this before we went on the air, of the Native American basketball tradition. They have something that they call counting coup. And what they may translate to is the behind-the-back dribble, breaking somebody's ankles on the war field. They would look at their opponent and say, you know, I could kill you right now, but I'm not going to, and that's an even worse insult than if I actually killed you. So when they watch her play with this style and this flair and her jump up in Brittany Griner's face after making that incredible
layup,
you know, that was that Native American tradition of I'm a warrior and I just destroyed you.
And people don't realize how big the game of, like, the basketball is on the res in Indian communities. It's the biggest. It's like football is in Texas.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's reservations are insane for basketball. Some great players coming out of there. They don't make it to the NBA and make it through college. It's a whole other story that we have to tackle one day with some other folks. But it's a game of the heart and the head there that they just really play it. I mean, it's hard for some folks in the city to understand that. I was going to say my wife, but she doesn't understand that. You know, she's in Indiana. She thinks the only place you can play basketball is Indiana, but that's because Valerie's from Indiana. But see, we always have this argument, who's better at basketball, Indiana or Baltimore?
Right.
In the house. But, oh, wait a minute. We have a comment from somebody from Michigan who's actually in Baltimore right now. Lester Spence, what you got to say?
Hey, what's up, man?
How are you?
I know I'm really sorry for the sister who supported Florida. I mean, Michigan Life really put a whooping on them, but it was a really good
thank you. I think.
Yeah, you think. But so just what I wanted to do. Mark, I just want to let you know
what?
That you've got that event going on Saturday. I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
But the game starts at 8:49 p.m., man. So if I bring out the iPad and start watching that game, start watching Michigan deal with Syracuse, I just don't want you to be mad at me.
You know, if we had realized it was going to be the last day of the final four there, I don't know what, maybe we planned the event for the wrong night. I don't know. I might come back and come over to your table and look at the iPad with you.
I got a spot for you, kid. Okay. I got a spot for
you. It should be a good weekend of basketball coming up.
It's going to be a phenomenal weekend of basketball.
Absolutely.
You know, when you look at the Michigan-Syracuse matchup, I think you're looking at the greatest individual matchup that we've had this year at the point guard position, with Michael Carter Williams at Syracuse and the inimitable Trey Burke at Michigan. You know, his heroics in that second half against Kansas was just unbelievable. And we're going to see a really great matchup also in the other game with Wichita State, who a lot of people aren't given an opportunity to take this thing out. But
against Louisville.
Yeah.
Right.
Louisville looks like, the odds-on favorite. Michigan and Syracuse look like, they could possibly win this thing. And then a lot of people aren't giving Wichita State its due. It kind of reminds me of 1985 when we had Georgetown, which looked so dominant. We had a great St. John's team with Chris Mullin and those guys.
Chris Mullin.
And we had a great Memphis State team with Keith Lee. And the guys there, and then we
you
had
old
this team
to watch
called
basketball back then.
Oh, come on, man! I'm older than I look, man. And then we had this Villanova team
over there. You telling your age over there?
No, man. I was 15 in 1985.
Get out.
Okay.
So, I think it's going to be a phenomenal matchup, and
I agree.
It's going to be good. I think Michigan's going to be in the final too.
Okay.
I think that they've earned that respect. I think that they've definitely played at a level where you can definitely see them being the top two teams left. I don't think it would be a shocker if Michigan and Louisville is in the national championship. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I wouldn't either. I think that could be where it goes. No. We have about 3 minutes to the end of the hour here. We didn't talk about Towson baseball at all, but that's we had the Towson president on here, and I guess who I respect a great deal. I think she's an incredible woman, but had to be pushed a little bit on just the power of money and sports. They want to put it all on Title IX, but it's not all on Title IX.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is on Title Dollar Sign.
Right.
It's where a lot of this goes. And Martin O'Malley came up with the money.
I have a soft spot for baseball. Just because I grew up on baseball, so I'm extremely glad that they're able to save this program. I believe that there isn't enough baseball programs that are enforced, that people support, whether it be, from little leagues to high school to college. So I think that this is a great thing that O'Malley did, because too many times we see football, track, and then Maryland lacrosse, but baseball really gets swept under the rug. And I think that these kids really could use baseball. I think that's a program that needs to be here. I think that that's a sport that really needs to get more recognition, and it's just not doing it for whatever reason. And I would just really like to see kids really getting more into baseball, because it's a great sport. I love baseball.
Well, Sarita Hubbard, the NFLchick.com, always great to have you with us next time in studio. Glad to have you here.
Yes, I'll be there next time.
Thank you. Always good to have you on. Ali Danwa, great to see you. Senior editor for Bounce Magazine, always good to have you on the air with me, man.
I appreciate it. I'm going to disagree. I think Michigan is not going to be able to solve that Syracuse zone. And
uh-oh.
I think we're looking at Syracuse and Louisville. All and
right.
Just keep an eye on Russ Smith. He's the best, most exciting player we've seen in this tournament.
We'll talk Monday morning.
Yeah.
We'll see what's happening. Remind you on the way out of here, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. For the fifth year in a row, Maryland's public schools have been named number one in the country by Education Week magazine. Visit MarylandEducators.org to explore what it means to invest in our students, school construction and safety, and the educators' programs and services that make our schools a national leader. That's MarylandEducators.org. Thank you all for listening. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Henry, and Stephanie Marronis. Our engineer tonight is Andrew Holt. Our intern is Lila Warshaw, doing an incredible job on our website. See the work she's doing there with outlining our shows. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, and hear new additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Don't go away. Money is coming up behind me. Teach you how to stay wealthy. Take care.